listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with The Briefing. Today was a landmark day in the epic legal battle between former Liberal Party staffer Bruce Lerman and Channel 10 and journalist Lisa Wilkinson. Lerman sued 10 and Wilkinson over an interview in 2021 in which Brittany Higgins claimed she was raped by a colleague at Parliament House. Lerman, who denies the allegations, says while he wasn't named, he could have been identified. Justice Michael Lee handed down his judgment earlier today. Nine Newspaper's chief investigative journalist, Kate McClymont, was in court to hear Justice Lee's findings. Kate, thanks for joining us on The Briefing.
My pleasure, Bensian.
Justice Lee was damning in his findings.
Oh, not just damning, absolutely smashed Bruce Lerman. And I think the most telling quote of the whole rather lengthy judgment, I think it's 324 pages, was he made the observation that having escaped the lion's den, Mr. Lerman made the mistake of coming back for his hat. Now, that is a reference to the fact that in October 2022, Lerman's criminal trial for the rape was abandoned because of juror misconduct. And it was then held that Brittany Higgins' mental state would not stand a fresh criminal trial. So rather than leaving it there, Bruce Lerman determined to bring a defamation case against Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson, who originally broadcast Brittany Higgins' interview in 2021. So it predated the criminal trial. But Justice Lee found that on the night of the actual rape, he said that Bruce Lerman showed absolutely no regard for Brittany Higgins, and that in taking her back to Parliament House when she had drunk at least 11 alcoholic drinks, he knew that she was inebriated and that she couldn't give consent, but all that he cared about was his own sexual gratification. So it was to be Bruce Lerman sitting there in court today listening to this would have been absolutely horrendous.
Justice Lee was considering three aspects. You might take us through them: liability, imputations, and truth.
Yes. Yeah, so first of all, was Bruce Lerman identified? Because Channel 10 had argued that, yes, we did interview Brittany Higgins and we did make these allegations, but we didn't identify Bruce Lerman. However, Michael Lee found out that, in fact, his identity was, you know, the way the story was told, he was identified. Then it came down to the truth defence. So Channel 10 had to prove that on the balance of probabilities, the rape did happen. And if that failed, which it didn't, but we'll come back to that, they then had to argue that they had behaved reasonably, that they'd done good work as journalists. Now, I think it was fairly lucky for Channel 10 because I think Justice Lee was basically saying they did not do enough work when they ran the interview. There was a number of inconsistencies in Brittany Higgins' account that they should have checked. However, that was basically a fallback defence. And because Channel 10 and Wilkinson got up in the truth defence, that they did not have to rely on that. So basically the judge has, you know, found in their favour because he took it that it was proved that the rape did happen. But he was also, you know, he said that Bruce Lerman has behaved disgracefully. He defended the criminal charge on a false basis. He lied to the police and he then allowed that lie to go uncorrected before the jury. Now, this is in reference to the rape trial in October 2022. But Justice Lee went on to say that he then allowed Higgins, a sexual assault victim, to be dragged into this defamation case on a knowingly false premise. So he was not sparing of Bruce Lehrman at all. And he described him as a Walter Mitty type character who was basically willing to say, you know, whatever he liked. And he also said that he had no scruples at all. On the night in question, this was in March 2019 in Parliament House, he said he had no scruples at all about cheating on his girlfriend that night. And in the 40 minutes that he was alone with Brittany Higgins in Parliament House, he missed 6 calls from his girlfriend. And the judge said that, you know, common sense would suggest that there was one dominant thought running through the mind of Bruce Lehrman, and it had nothing to do with French submarine contracts, which was his evidence that he needed to brief himself on French submarine contracts.
How significant was the late submission and subsequent testimony from the former Seven Spotlight producer, Taylor Auerbach?
Look, I think the evidence of Auerbach, the judge said basically that, you know, while it was lurid, Lehrman had not told the truth about the, you know, basically the gratuities he had received from Seven. But more significantly was he found that Lehrman had not told the truth to his defamation trial about the material he had provided to Channel 7. Now, in his rape trial, his defence received certain information on subpoena, including 2,300 text messages from Brittany Higgins's phone, including to her former boyfriend. Now, these things were given over by compulsion, and they are not to be used in any other circumstances apart from use at the rape trial. So the judge basically found that in breach of what is known as the Harmon Undertaking, Bruce Lehrman handed that material over willy-nilly to Channel 7. Now, if the ACT court was so minded, they could charge Bruce Lehrman with contempt of court for the breaching those undertakings. And that can actually attract a criminal penalty. So it'll be interesting to see whether the ACT Supreme Court does actually follow up on that.
Mm. We've seen other big ticket defamation suits blow up, like the one involving Ben Robert Smith. Could this finding change the momentum in terms of people suing or threatening to sue?
Look, you would think so, but it doesn't seem to have stopped people. And, you know, you do think that people have a right to defend their reputation. But in many of these cases, even if they get nominal damages, like even in this case, if the judge had not been able to find on the balance of probabilities that the rape had occurred, he had already given the impression that he would find that Bruce Lehrman's reputation had little worth. And in fact, at one stage recently, he made the remark about being awarded the lowest coin in the realm. But even if he had won the case, the damage to his reputation subsequently, especially in the last couple of weeks with Taylor Auerbach's evidence, has been extraordinary. And in that case, there were text messages tendered to court. This was when Channel 7 was trying to secure the exclusive interview. And he was Bruce Lehrman, like barely out of his criminal trial, wanting to go on boozy benders, you know, talking about ordering sex workers and cocaine. And in the text messages, Taylor Auerbach said to his then boss, you know, can't he just lay low for a moment? Can't he just stop? And I just think even last week we heard about the karaoke nights over at North Sydney, which were driving the neighbours mad.
Mm-hmm. Where to now for Bruce Lehrman, do you think?
Well, look, I think the interesting thing will be the costs order in this. Who is going to find millions of dollars to pay Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson's legal fees? And that's not counting Bruce Lehrman's own legal fees. Look, there has been talk that his lawyers did it on a no-win, no-fee basis. But now that he has lost, who pays the other side's legal fees?
Mm. And Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson?
What happens now is that will they pursue Bruce Lehrman for his legal fees because he's an unemployed law student? So whether he's been receiving funding from other parties to keep him going, no one's quite sure. But I would say the cupboard would be bare in trying to extract legal costs from Bruce Lehrman, but that'll be something to watch down the track. We're yet to have a hearing about costs, and Justice Lee will hold that in the coming weeks.
Kate McClymont, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
That was Nine Newspapers' chief investigative journalist, Kate McClymont. That's all we have time for this afternoon. We'll be back in your feed from 6 tomorrow morning with all the day's news and part 4 of our special series on sex work in 2024. I'm Bension Siebert. Thanks for listening.